as we gather here to hear the words tonight. The words have been brought many times before by different speakers, but with a little different viewpoint of thought, that maybe we might glean out some new thoughts or words that have not been given before. This day of fasting, which has been called, has been to strengthen us as individuals, to that we might fortitude ourselves against the wiry darts of the adversary. We are living in the last days. How long time will go on, I do not know, but we are seeing some peculiar things happening in the world. The times that we're living in are unsettled. And so, without the help of the Lord, we would be in drastic situation if we didn't have the Lord's help. And it is only going to be by the Lord's help that we're going to escape many of the disasters that's going to be upon this nation and the other nations of the world. I would start by reading here in the Book of Mormon here on page 40, beginning with verse 219. I'll read a few verses here. "And it came to pass that he said unto me, Look, and behold that great and abominable church, which is the mother of abominations, whose founder is the devil. And he said unto me, Behold, there are save two churches only. The one is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not to the church of the Lamb of God belongeth to that great church, which is the mother of abominations, and she is the whore of all the earth. And it came to pass that I looked, and beheld the whore of all the earth, she sat upon many waters. And she had dominion over all the earth, among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people. And it come to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its members were few, because of the wickedness and abomination of the whore, who sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth." Now we can see here, as it says, there's going to be two churches only. As we see today, those that's of the older generation here, and even the younger ones, by doing a little reading, the two churches are coming about today. When I was in my younger days, they was not adjoining or trying to unite the churches as they are doing today. They seemed to hold apart. They really wasn't interested in all getting together because they could see the different precepts that the other organizations had. Didn't agree with that really what they thought should be. But there has come a movement about, and I would say, now the date I'm not really sure of, but I would say it has come about long since pretty much the 60s. It has begun to move with a greater force than it has at another time. But this here joining of the two churches is only fulfilling the prophecies that are here before us. And to escape the many trials and tribulations that's going to be there is going to be through much fasting and prayer upon the people. They're humbling themselves before the Lord, that the Lord will be able to use them. Now it says their members were few, as I read out of the Book of Mormon. It also says the same thing in the Bible. There was few there. Here in Matthew it says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire." Now this is a little bit like the spring. A good spring cannot bring forth bitter water. A spring that is bringing forth bitter water cannot bring forth sweet water, for they are incompatible one with another. And that is the way it is here, those two churches. They're incompatible one with another. Now, we can look back over the annals of history and see what Christ set up for his church many centuries ago. And it was to be a continually one. But if we will turn to Revelations here, the 13th chapter, it speaks about what happened to the church that Christ set up. Now, when two teams are playing, or maybe I should put it in another way, a wrestling team, when they wrestle one with another, one is the victor, the other is a loser. One overcomes the other, and one is subdued. Now, when you subdue something, you have conquered it. You have overcome it. The other one has fallen. And in the 13th chapter, the 7th verse here, now speaking of this here beast here in Sechnob, I'll read, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations." Now here we have a good example what happened to the church that Christ established. At this time, when it was overcome, that which the Lord had set up here on the earth for the benefit of man had ceased to be. It was no longer to be found. It was no more. There was another one that took its place, as it spoke of here in page 40 in the Book of Mormon, that abominable church had overcome it. Now, we are seeing a gathering today of the uniting of the churches. They have joined many of them. And when they begin to gather together, they are joining one with another to fight against the Lord. They don't really see it as that way. They seem to think that, boy, this is a great thing, all the churches coming together. They're laying down their differences. But it's an appeasement of the doctrine of the Lord that is coming about. And it is those things which is not pleasing in the sight of the Lord that is taking place. And in our time, we're beginning to see strange things, strange happenings in the world. Let me read over here in Matthew, in the 24th chapter. About verse 37 here. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Let me read here a little bit just what took place here in the days of Noah. Here in Genesis here, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now that's in the fifth verse of Genesis in the sixth chapter. This is what the people were at the day of Noah. Let me read it again. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He didn't seek the welfare of his neighbor. He sought his own pleasure in all things. If they desired to do that which is evil, which they did, they done it. And the Lord was unhappy with what man was doing. And so, as they was doing there, as I just read to you here in Matthew, as there was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And when he comes, this is what's going to be taking place here in this world. Evil thoughts within the breast of mankind. We can see that thing now. If we look in some of the organizations now, they are supporting homosexuals. Now this is a very grievous thing in the sight of the Lord. This here thing, the gay movement, as they would like to say, and they are trying to educate the people that this is all right. And a lot of the people are going along with this thought that the gay movement isn't all that bad. But as it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. They were evil there in that day. Today we have the same thing taking place. This movement among the people. It is even creeping into the churches of the world. This movement of the gay movement. They're saying it's all right. I had an aunt. Well, I say I had it. She's still alive. But anyway, she lived in Denver, and she told me there that her minister that was there in that church was a homosexual. And she says, what would you do? Well, I says, I'm going to go to another church is what I'd do. I wouldn't have any part with such evil thing. The Lord says that it's evil to take that which is evil and call it good, and to call good evil. We have to get off the fence. We cannot straddle the fence when these things come about. You have to take a position. Now, it's not going to be popular, many of the decisions that you have ahead of you to make. It's not going to be popular with man. But it isn't man that's going to be the judge of all things. It's going to be our Father in heaven that's going to weigh everything in the balance. Those things which are offending will not find way into the kingdom of heaven. I was reading in the paper here about this gay movement that the World Council of Churches is supporting this movement. Strife, the National Councils of Churches are supporting this movement in the ways that they are going. And it's evil that they're reaping to themselves. Now, I think it's rather a frightening thing of the morality of the nation that the direction it is heading. It is going downhill. And why you hear people blasting these things and teaching that we should turn to the Lord and come to Him, this is correct. And as that beast there overcome the saints at an earlier time, this beast is going to make another attempt. Let me read it to you here. Here in Revelations, again, the 13th chapter, the 13th verse. Well, let me back up to the 11th verse. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. Now you, I'm sure most of you have seen little lambs. They've got little buttons on the top of their head there that resemble horns. But you know, they're innocent in their appearance. They really can't do you any harm. And that's the way it is here. It's innocent that it looks. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Notice. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now here he exercised all the power of the first beast. This first beast overcome the saints of God, so that his church was no more. And yet it says here that he exercised all the power of the first beast. But he's not going to be successful here in this second attempt to overcome the saints of the Lord. He's going to make a great try at it. And he will surprise, I'm sure, many people how close he will get. Let me read some more. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth, in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sights of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, reading here, you would assume from the reading that all came to the beast, or they were put away, killed. This isn't quite the case. Why, he did put many of them to death, because they would not take upon them that number or worship that beast. Still, over in the 20th chapter of Revelations, we read that there were those that did not take upon them the mark of the beast or to worship him. There were those that held it faithful, and as when Christ come, there were still those that were holding out faithfully. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now notice here what this beast done. And this is where it's going to become quite complicated for us as the saints of God to get by in this world that we're living in. It is becoming, they're marshaling their forces in an insidious way, is what they are doing. They are bringing these things by, and Satan is very cunning in the way he is doing it. I'm sure that this beast that I just read is here now, but is not full bloom in the power that he will have. He's here, I'm satisfied. He's a flexing his muscles and trying them out little by little. As you go down and buy groceries, you know, they run them over a glass, and some of the computers give you the name of the item and the price of the item, and it keeps all these things. And it's getting so anymore that you can't hardly buy anything or even sell anything unless you give them your social security number and all these goodies. And I think it's just a movement of this beast to get his grasp upon the people of the world. It's going to become a life and death situation, I'm satisfied, for the saints of the Lord. But there is a way out, and that is the way that we're in now, that we hold fast to that which the Lord has given, call upon him for his power, his strength, and his mercy, that we may have the strength to endure when these things knock on our door. I don't know what all the situations might be, but I'm satisfied that these things are not too good. Let me read here in Romans on the first chapter here, the 26th verse. And for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Now, here we have Paul speaking of these things. Here we have these things taking place among the nations, or United States here, and through the nations of the world, it is getting quite a hold. And the organizations are beginning to support these things. And they're coming out in open rebellion, as I say, against the Lord in their grossness that they have about them, and trying to tell people and teach people that these things are all right. It is through drugs that they're beginning to weaken the people's will. This marijuana that is so much among the people, they can hardly keep tabs of it. Now there's so much of it flowing into this country. And when they begin to debase our young ones, then as they grow up, they have been using these drugs and these other things, and they think that evil is all right. It has become a part of them. And they don't know that which is purity. Now, the Lord said, here in the 28th verse, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, a reprobate is one that it is speaking of which is without hope. It cannot be saved. The Lord has given them up because of their continued evilness. And that's the way it was with Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we as an individual should be able to look to the Scriptures, study the Scriptures, and see just what happened to those in times past. We have the Scriptures here for us in this day and age, for our enlightenment and guidance. These things are coming together. And this here great and abominable church is to unite the people, is getting the baser sort of the people within her doors. In the 24th chapter of Matthew here, in the 3rd verse, it's speaking of Jesus here, and they're asking him, what shall be in the latter times? What shall be the coming? And what will be doing when you come again? And Jesus kind of outlined these things that would happen. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and at the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Now here says there shall be rumors of wars and wars among them. I don't know, I would say offhand, I haven't searched the Scriptures, and so I can be wrong in this, but I can really say that I don't know since World War II if there's been a time that there hasn't been some fighting, a war going on somewhere here upon this earth. We can back up, and you can look at the fighting that is going on in the Far East right at this time. You can go back a little further and you can look at Russia's invasion of a country there, Afghanistan, and what they're doing there. You can back up a little further and see where the Vic Cog invaded Cambodia. Out of 8 million Cambodians that was there, they annihilated 5 million of them. This is really kind of a sad thing to think that the human race can be so callous in its ways to kill other people. But this is what happens when they have allowed themselves to be led by the wrong power. Satan is rather miserable, and he delights in the misery of the human soul. He don't like to see that love that Christ says we should have in our hearts one for another. He's unhappy at this. And so he's out there constantly trying to wave things before us that can draw us away from God. He is out there constantly telling us that these things are all right. He'll whisper in our ears if we let him. He will enter into our thoughts if we but weaken them for a minute. And it is a constant warfare that we as saints are fighting today. It is souls that he would ruin. And he doesn't really care how he ruins that soul, whether it is by warfare, one fighting against another with instruments of war, or whether he is able to overcome them through the drugs or the evilness of the world. It's all the same to him when he wins them souls. He don't like to see any that would repent of his ways and come unto him. I will read there with verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. There is still more conflict, more war that we as saints of God must withstand. There are those tribulations that will be around them. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Now, in Africa, there is a famine that's going on there, very severe. There's a lot of people that are starving to death. But it isn't only there. It's other places as well that people are going hungry at a greater amount in this time and age than ever before. And pestilence. We're seeing pestilence in this day and age that we've never really seen before. They're finding out that our bug that has been controlled by DDT and other things is eating on the DDT and coming back and fighting at him, say, hey, feed me some more. And so they get out there and they eat up your crops, and you spray them with this and you knock them down a little bit, and here they are back. They're immune to it, what you have. It's a losing battle that we're waging against them. These pestilence that we're seeing are greater and greater all the time. Man is beginning to become a little bit worried. What is he going to do? They're beginning to eat our food crop up. And when they eat your food crop up, then people begin to go hungry. And if we look in the Book of Mormon there, when Nephi prayed that it wouldn't rain, well, it didn't rain for 3 years. What were happening with the people? They were there warring and fighting one with another. They were taking axe to each other, swords to each other. They were killing one another however they could. They were stealing, and all these things they were trying one with another. And so Nephi prayed that these people might repent. So he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And then the food supply kind of disappeared. And the people was able to start humbling themselves before the Lord because they didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. They were destitute. And we see what happened. But anyway, these pestilences, as they get worse, it's going to be harder for the people to make a living. We can look and see what happened to the Missouri River here a few years back, how it flooded so much. We can look at even this winter, the records of cold that have been broken all across this nation, and not only in this nation, but other countries as well. We're seeing strange situations in times and weather. In our food supply, our weather isn't behaving as it has in times past. And I believe that these are only signs of the time that the Lord is trying to warn us of what is a-coming. Many people in the world, you know, they read the scriptures. They see some of these things, but they always lay it to somebody else. Well, that isn't applying to me, but it applies to somebody else. And earthquakes. We're seeing earthquakes in our day and time that has never been. And yet, it speaks here that there shall be many of them here and there. And all of these are the beginning of sorrows. These things need not be if the people of the world would repent. Repent of their ways and come unto the Lord. We can look and see what happened to the city of Nineveh. I believe somebody was talking on that. I believe it was probably in Sunday school about Jonah and how he talked to the people there and warned them of what would happen, and they repented, the whole city. They were spared because they knew what the Lord could do. Today, the people as a whole are not going to repent. A little bit like in the days of Pharaoh, when Moses went to him and told him what would happen, and he really wouldn't repent. And the people, these things are going to be among us as we are seen. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now this is really a sad thing when we think about it. Here it says that the love of many shall wax cold. Stop and think about that. The love shall wax cold. Means the compassion and love that you had for one another ceased to be. What took its place? Can't be a void. Something has to take its place. And here it is hatred, dislike, that will fill the bosoms of the individuals that had that love. It will cease to be. And they were war among one another. We have typical examples of those things that happen if we look to the Nephites, seeing how they, when they turned away from the Lord, what happened to them. We can look to the Jaredites and see what happened to them. They had continued hatred in their hearts one for another. They become hardened. They would not repent. And they must repent, or they will suffer the consequences of what the Lord will bring upon them. The Lord would not bring these plagues upon anybody if they will but do that which He has commanded them. And that's to love thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. The second one is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If these things would be abided by, as they should be, you would see a peace and happiness in this world that would defile your understanding. But here in the second book of Nephi, here on the 12th chapter, I'll read a little bit here, and the signs of our time. You know, it wasn't just in the Bible that they seen these things, but they had that here on this continent among the Nephites, that what would be in the latter days. And I will read here a little bit of it. "And now, behold, my brethren, I have spoken unto you according as the Spirit has constrained me, wherefore I know that they must surely come to pass." Now here we have somebody given a prophecy along, let's say, 600 B.C. That's 2,500 years ago. Think of it. He's seen our day, and he prophesied of our time. And he says, "I know that they must surely come to pass. And the things which shall be written out of the book shall be of great worth unto the children of men, especially under our seed, which is a remnant of the house of Israel. For it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up, and not unto the Lord, when the one shall say unto the other, Behold, I am the Lord's, and the other shall say, I am the Lord's. And thus shall every one say, that has built up churches and not unto the Lord. You that are a little older might well understand that when it says, I am the Lord, and the other one says, No, I am not. They had more contention among the different denominations. Today, they don't say that anymore. Time has progressed a little. They say, well, go to that church or go to this one. It doesn't matter which church you're going to go to. All is going to be well. There isn't the contending that there was, and that is because the denominations are joining force one with another. They're getting together with their ministers, and one minister from one denomination will go into another denomination and preach, and they trade ministers back and forth. And they're telling the people, this is good. "And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning, and deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, Hearken unto us, and hear ye our precepts. For behold, there is no God today, for the Lord and the Redeemer has done his work, and he has given his power unto men." I'm sure many of you have heard this. "Behold, hearken ye unto my precepts. If they shall say, There is a miracle wrought by the hands of the Lord, believe it not, for this day he is not a God of miracles. He has done his work." I'm wondering, you people would kind of disagree with the statement that is made here that he's making to the people of the world. You heard this morning in the sacrament of some miracles that had taken place. Those things will continue to take place among the saints of the Lord. "Believe it not, for this day he is not a God of miracles. He has done his work. Yea, and there shall be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. You hear this as well, that all will be well. Do whatever you want today, it matters not." Now I'm reading out of page 153, verse 9 there. "And there shall also be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little. Take the advantage of one because of his word. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this." Now, let me back up here. It says here, the people will say here, he will justify in committing a little sin. Do you honestly believe that he will justify in committing a little sin? Didn't the Lord say that evil cannot be in the kingdom of heaven? That's true. A little sin will keep you out of heaven. Going to close the gate and lock it to you unless a person repents of his ways. Yea, take the advantage of one because of his words. They do that today. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. They don't want to follow the second commandment that the Lord has given, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. They say, there's no harm in this if you steal from him, take advantage of him, lie to him, cheat. All these things they teach that is all right. But it is not all right. We, as the saints, must keep the commandments that the Lord has given to us. And if we do that, then all will be well. And do all these things, for today, tomorrow, we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we will be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false, vain, foolish doctrines. This is what they are, foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And the works shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. These are the things that are going to take place in our day, and are taking place in our day. You know, earlier, when Christ set up his kingdom, there was many of them that was put to death for the word of God. We have had a time, you might say, of prosperity here in our time and our age. But the time is a-coming that the saints of the Lord are going to suffer the same thing that they suffered in an earlier ages, in different times. This is where we're going to need the power of the Lord for our help and our guidance. We're going to need to be able to keep those commandments as we should. Now, Abinadi, when he preached to the people there, and they finally had caught him, and they brought him before the council there, and he told them the things they were doing wrong, and they brought false charges against him, and they put him to death. You think there was fear in Abinadi's heart? You think he was scared to death there? No. I don't believe for a minute that fear was there in his heart. Prior to that, maybe, yes. But while he was there and they was putting him to death, I'm satisfied there was no fear in his heart, that the power of the Lord was upon that individual. That was what was with him, the power of the Lord. Now, I satisfied of that from an experience that I had had. I was shown in a dream, and I had spoken to the people thereabout, and they wouldn't hear. And I was there standing beside a building, and the Lord told me to go inside of that building, and, you know, fear kind of struck my heart. I knew what was coming. A destruction was coming for those people because they wouldn't hear. As I turned to enter that building, the little one it was, the Spirit of the Lord come upon me. I really don't know how long time transpired there, but you know, time ceased to be. After the destruction was over, I went back out and I seen the destruction that was there. It was great. The Lord is able to spare his people those things with the power of the Lord. The Spirit is at rest upon you. And this will and can be our protection and guidance as we walk into the future here yet ahead of us, and these trials and tribulations that are yet to befall us. If we put our trust in the Lord, then the Lord will be there to strengthen us as we should be strengthened, and will not fall along the wayside.